Well, good morning, Wardville Community Church. I'm mixing things up a little bit here on Reformation Day, October the 31st. If you go look at the newsletter, you're also going to see a handful of Easter eggs there. This is going to be the only time that this sort of intro is going to be used. I will most likely go right back to the old one next week, but I wanted to do things a little different because when does the newsletter or when do the newsletter and podcast ever fall on Reformation Day? This is a big deal. So we are grateful for the Protestant Reformation. We are a product of the Protestant Reformation, and while those men weren't perfect, they certainly did labor in the sight of the Lord for the many of the things we enjoy today, specifically the fact that we are no longer under the influence of the Pope. So, handful of announcements. The coat, sock, and blanket drive for the homeless in Wardville is going on now, so you can bring those things to. I'm looking at a handful in my office, which is funny given what I said yesterday, but that's fine. I'll gladly have them in my office or anywhere else in the church building until we can hand those off. November the 20th is our Sunday evening service at 5 p.m. December 11th is also the December Sunday evening service at 5 p.m. December the 4th through the 11th is going to be the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering Week of Prayer, with December the 11th being the day we collect that offering for the International Mission Board. Then December 25th is our Christmas Day service at 4 p.m. We're only going to have one service that day. It'll be at 4. Lots of singing, short devotional, just a chance to be together and light that Christmas candle. We also have Wardville Community Church mugs and t-shirts available. There's one medium and one extra large still available. And then we will finish, Lord willing, 3 John on Sunday. Let me do a little sermon follow-up. Let's talk first about seeing God. John tells us twice that no one has seen God. John 1:18 and 1 John 4:12. It's interesting, though, because in both of those verses, John at least hints at the fact that people do see God. In John 1:18, he insinuates that Christ Jesus has made God visible. We know in the incarnation that's exactly what he did. Jesus manifested the character and person of God in human form and flesh. In John 1:14, he says, "The eternal divine, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us." And in 1 John 4:12, John says, "No one has seen God at any time," but then he mentions that if we love one another, God abides in us. Therefore, people do see God manifest himself and his character through our love, like the Holy Spirit of God evidences and manifests himself through the way that we love one another. Side note, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gifts that God gives to his church to use to serve one another are called manifestations of the Spirit for the common good. So they come to perceive and behold him, his beauty, his character, his grace, his love, and his life-transforming power when we love one another. In other words, even though people don't see God in all of his full, resplendent triune glory with their eyes, they can see him through Christ and through Christ's loving people. What an immense privilege. In both 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, and then 3 John 11, John equates seeing God with knowing God and being saved. That's the inescapable truth here. People can't see God. No one has seen God. And yet, seeing God is apparently a necessary ingredient of regeneration. How can this be? It's because there are two ways of seeing. There is one way that we see with our physical eyes, the sense of sight. And there is another way that we see with the eyes of faith. Now, faith trains us that the physical, material, visible world is not all that there is. And faith teaches us to trust God even when our eyes and other senses would commend the opposite. One of my favorite lines in the Jesus Storybook Bible is, "Sarah trusted God more than what her eyes could see. She had spiritual sight even when her eyes, and her body for that matter, told her a different story." In other words, she believed. She had faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 gets at this point when Paul says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." In Ephesians 1:18, Paul speaks of the eyes of the heart. He understands that we have two ways of seeing, one with our eyes and one with faith. So the context will determine whether John or any other biblical author is speaking of our natural or our spiritual sight. When therefore John talks about seeing God in 3 John 11, he's speaking about faith. Now, faith actually comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Paul says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So spiritual sight is inextricably linked to the hearing of the gospel. So we hear the gospel, believe the gospel, and we see God. We perceive and behold his infinite glory, goodness, grace, and love, and it begins to transform us. Now, let me just also say that where all of this is going is what 1 John 3 talks about. 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is." And so we, right now, we don't see him with our eyes, but we love him. Like 1 Peter, though you don't see him now, you love him. That's faith. We see him with the eyes of faith. And just like "It is well" says, "Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight." There's coming a day when our natural sight and our spiritual sight are one. We see the object of our faith with our natural eyes. That's all moving that direction. So one day we will see him. That's the ultimate reward of seeing him by faith now. Let's talk about Zacchaeus. I love that Kevin read the story of Zacchaeus yesterday, and I love that he asked us to hear it in a different way. And boy, did I ever as he read it. I heard it in terms of our text in 3 John. Here is a man who couldn't see Jesus with his eyes because his stature and the crowd prevented him from doing so. But Jesus saw him, and Jesus came to him and found him. And Jesus invited him, Zacchaeus, to receive himself. Zacchaeus did not send an invitation to Jesus to dine with him. Jesus came to him and turned his life upside down while he was in that sycamore tree. I think there's a lot to be said just from that, that this man wanted to see Jesus, but it was actually Jesus who saw him and came to him and essentially invited himself into Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus just said, "Okay, come over." And so he scrambled down the tree and accepted his invitation to receive him. Thus, Zacchaeus literally received Jesus. Like, he welcomed him. He received him. And per Matthew 10:40, whoever receives Jesus receives the Father, or him who sent me. Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus, but when Jesus invited Zacchaeus in, he made himself able to be seen, and faith gripped Zacchaeus' heart. Even though Zacchaeus' physical sight was perfectly intact, now he had the spiritual sight of faith. So Jesus turned this extortioner and thief's life upside down. And those who don't perceive, those who really don't see, right, with the spiritual sight, the goodness of Jesus, his grace, and his purpose, which he makes clear at the end, to seek and save the lost, those who don't see grumble about it. They are mad that an undeserving man gets Jesus, and they fail to perceive their own undeserving state, and thus the overwhelming beauty of Jesus and his grace. Zacchaeus, who started this story out not being able to see, is now the only one who really sees. And he evidences it by repenting in a really incredible way. He repays those he defrauded. And Jesus happily declares that salvation has come to his house. He doesn't say that in response to the good deeds alone. He says that in response to the faith that produced those deeds. The repayment was evidence of the fact that he has now seen God. And can I tell you something else that's really cool? If you read back in Luke 18, right? So Zacchaeus starts in Luke 19, but in Luke 18, Jesus is on his way to Jericho. So right before the Zacchaeus encounter, what is Jesus doing as he enters Jericho? He heals a blind man. Here's a man who can't see, but he also does see. He sees God with the eyes of faith. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus even says, your faith has made you well. Literally, your faith has saved you. So in one story, a man's physical sight is made to match his spiritual sight that he already has. And in the very next story, in the same city, a man's spiritual sight is made to match his physical sight. The Bible is so beautiful. And if that's true, then the one who authored it must exceed it in beauty. And you can go into the newsletter. Like I said, hopefully you'll be there looking for these little Easter eggs anyway. You can go see the newsletter today, and you can see the scripture references that I've put in there that point to Diotrephes' sins. But let me just simply say, don't imitate that which is evil. Don't be known for all the wrong reasons. Be known for the right reasons. And by faith, imitate that which is good, right, and true. Live your whole life as one who has seen and is seeing by faith and will see with faith and sight God himself. Have a great week. I love you, people.